This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is an honor to be joined by our next guest. Quite frankly, he is one of the best baseball players to ever live. He is an eight-time All-Star. He won a World Series back in 1995, won the National League MVP Award in 1999. He's also won the Silver Slugger Award twice, and he won a batting champion in 2008. He is also in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. It is an honor to be joined by our next guest. Chipper Jones joined us on the show. Chipper, really appreciate you coming on. Let's start with this. You're one of the few athletes that we've ever had on that have never played in Kansas City. How many times have you actually been here before?
I actually drove right past the ballpark last week. As some people know, I have a hunting show on Sportsman's Channel called Major League Bowhunter. And I drove out to Kansas to set up a couple of new farms that I acquired this year, and rode by the ballpark. And I was thinking to myself, man, it's hard to believe as long as interleague play has been going on, I believe since 97 or 98, that the Braves did not play one series in Kansas City. And in fact, the only game that I ever played in Kansas City was my last All-Star game in 2012. So I got one at bat off Chris Sale in the All-Star game and got a base hit. So I'd have to say Kansas City's been pretty good to me.
No, Kansas City certainly was good to you in the All-Star game. You're a hunter. I would assume at some point that you have also gone hunting with Ned Yost. You got to give us one great Ned Yost hunting story.
I actually have never been hunting with Ned.
How does this happen? Like, Ned, the few times that we've talked, Ned loves hunting more than anything in the world. You played with the Braves. He coached with the Braves. I feel like at some point you guys would have crossed paths and you guys would have gone hunting at least once.
Baseball players and coaches kind of go their separate ways, you know, once the season is over. It's, you know, it's almost like we need time away from each other. You know, we spend about 8 months out of the year together, you know, eating, drinking, sleeping, baseball, that everybody just kind of has their own way of, you know, in our case, going and climbing up a tree and just kind of recharging the batteries. No, but Ned, what a great guy. So happy for him, not only him, but Dayton Moore, another ex-Brave, I would say, who's gone out to Kansas City and experienced the success and winning a world championship the way they did. It was, you know, everybody here in Braves country is extremely happy for him.
Trust me, I understand wanting to get away from your coworkers, Chipper. The guy next to me is just absolutely exhausting. We got Chipper Jones with us here on the drive. So we got this guy named Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure you heard of, MVP Super Bowl champion, and he signed the biggest contract 2 days ago in the history of American sports. And we always talk about, well, he's got to win two or three or four or five Super Bowls. Your Braves team is thought of as one of the greatest teams of all time. Then everybody always wants to bring up, well, they only won one World Series. Do you look at it that way?
Oh, no. I mean, anybody who's been around the game and played the game knows that we won a lot here in Atlanta. And for, you know, three quarters to four fifths of my career, every year that we came into camp, you know, we were expected to win, you know, the National League East and give ourselves an opportunity to win a world championship. Obviously, you know, things didn't go our way sometimes. We didn't play well sometimes, you know, in the postseason. It's unfortunate that we have that knock, but we have one more than a lot of other teams, you know, and I certainly, you know, cherish being the last team standing, you know, there at the end of October, the one time that we did it. So much about baseball is momentum and who the hot team is, you know, at the right time of the year. And, you know, as you've seen through the years, you know, a lot of times the wild card teams in baseball have a tendency to go further than some of the better teams that actually have better records because of the fact that every game for them for the last month has been somewhat of a playoff game, and they come in razor sharp, whereas, you know, a team with the best record who clinches their division on September the 5th and doesn't play a meaningful game for, you know, almost a month is a little bit rusty going into the postseason. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I think that's what makes the playoff format that we have in baseball so intriguing, because it really, truly gives everybody a fair shot to win.
Chipper, of course, I was talking about Pat, and he plays for the Chiefs, and you played for the Braves, and the name Redskins is in the news right now. How would you feel if they came calling for the Braves' name as far as changing it, considering that's who you played for your whole career?
Well, it's something we need to talk about and sit down and give a listen to. I saw something this morning reading on social media that the Braves, you know, are sitting down and talking not only about the name Braves, but the Tomahawk Chop. I think, you know, some people will remember a member of the St. Louis Cardinals bullpen from last year had some Indian heritage in his background, and a reporter asked him about the Tomahawk Chop, and he said, yeah, it offends me. And, you know, I think you'll remember the Braves did not play the Tomahawk Chop during the playoff series, you know, out of respect for that young man. So it's obvious that we need to sit down and talk about some things. There's, you know, a lot of change going on in America right now, and to ignore something like this would be a mistake, and I'm sure the Braves will give it its due diligence and make a decision accordingly.
Speaking of that change in the world that we live in now, of course, you're retired, but if you weren't, knowing that you've got a life separate from baseball and a family and other obligations, would you play this season?
I've been asked that question a lot. I have seven boys, four of them who live here at the house, the youngest being two. But I also have two 70-year-old parents who live on property with us. And, you know, I think every player has to assess their own situation. And, you know, if I was single and didn't have, you know, wasn't coming home to a family, you know, have my own place, I'd be hell-bent to go play. But in my current situation, with things the way they are right now, not really being educated on all the protocols and whatnot, I would probably lean towards not playing. My father's, you know, he's been a little sick of late, nothing COVID-related. My mom's healthy as a horse. But still, I, you know, them being here on property with the family, we eat lunch together a couple times a week. We eat dinner, you know, a few times a week. So exposing them to COVID would be something that I would have to weigh. And you know, as we sit here right now, I would probably be leaning more towards not playing as opposed to playing.
Right now we're talking to the 8-time All-Star. He also was the National League MVP in 1999. He is also in the National Baseball Hall of Fame, a first ballot inductee in 2018. I want to go back to your career. You might be one of the greatest switch hitters of all time. When did you first learn that you had this ability?
Very early. My dad, being a baseball coach, his favorite player, you know, of all time was Mickey Mantle. You know, and so me growing up kind of in the shadow, walking in the footsteps of my dad, wherever he went, you know, I was a sponge. I absorbed all of that, you know, kind of growing up. And, you know, he was the head baseball coach at our local high school. He was the offensive coordinator on the football team. He was, you know, an assistant coach on the basketball team. So we were playing whatever was in season. That being said, I knew where my bread was buttered come the springtime. And obviously a lot of time was spent sitting in front of the TV watching the Saturday games of the week, you know, with Tony Kubek and Joe Garagiola. And then after that game was over, man, out into the backyard we went, where we were imitating the lineups. And anytime a left-handed hitter came up, he made me hit left-handed, you know. And that's kind of where it all started. And people ask me all the time the advantage to switch hitting. Yes, it's twice the work, but trust me, you do not want to see a Randy Johnson slider from the left-handed batter's box. You want to see that thing coming into you as opposed to going away from you. Those breaking balls, those sliders coming into you are a heck of a lot easier to hit than, you know, if they were sweeping away from you. So that's a huge reason why somebody would switch hit.
Chipper, you bring up Randy Johnson. Obviously, you played against a lot of great players. You also played with a lot of great players. We talk about Bo Jackson here in Kansas City a lot for obvious reasons. You actually got to play with Deion Sanders. What kind of athlete was he, and how remarkable was it that he could play football on Sundays and be a shutdown corner, but also hit 270 with you guys in Atlanta?
Well, I had the blessing of playing with two multi-sport stars in Deion Sanders and Brian Jordan. BJ was an outstanding athlete. Deion, I can't imagine there being a faster human being than Deion. I mean, he made things look so effortless. There is nothing more beautiful than watching that guy hit a ball in the right center field gap and watching him turn those bases all the way to third base and get there easily. You know, he was a fun loving guy. You know, a lot of people think that Deion is, you know, cocky and you know, the prime time persona is really so much different than what Deion really is, you know, when you get him off camera. I think it's almost his alter ego that shows up on camera sometimes. But a phenomenal athlete. When I was playing left field and he was playing center, we had a blast out there playing together. I can only imagine, you know, you put another 30 pounds on Deion Sanders, you know, and the ability to hit the ball 500 feet, and that's what you got in Bo Jackson. I've gotten a chance to – Bo is actually a big deer hunter like myself, so he came in the clubhouse there my last year or two, and he came over and sat in my locker, and we didn't talk 1 second about baseball. It was all about bow hunting, and you know, he's quite an interesting guy. I enjoyed my time hanging out with him.
Deion is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You're in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. What is it like to get that call to Cooperstown?
It leveled me. It absolutely just astonished me. I mean, it was the culmination of basically 40 years in the game of baseball, starting at 7 years old and in the backyard, and then just kind of a lightning flash before your eyes of, you know, your little league teams and your high school teams and your American Legion teams and your it just, you know, all the way up through the minors and going through that, and then obviously 19 years in the big leagues, you know, it all seemed to just fly by. And then, you know, you're getting a call and now you're in one of the most elite fraternities, you know, on the planet, you know, and I never set out to make it to the Hall of Fame. I wanted to be great at my job, but, you know, I never even really allowed myself to think about it, because all those guys that were in there are guys that I put on such a high pedestal that I never thought I could actually live up to that. And then to, you know, to be a part of them and have them call me and walk up to me, you know, in Cooperstown and say welcome to the family was just I mean, you should have seen me, man. My eyes my eyes were as big around as grapefruits, you know, walking around that place the first time. And it's something that I'm very, very proud of.
Some people barely get into the Hall of Fame, and then there's you with 97.2% of the vote. Another guy that's in that club is George Brett, who played his whole career here in Kansas City. And I was actually looking at a list earlier today, Chipper, on MLB.com that ranked the best third baseman of all time, and they had you and George Brett 1 and 2. Was he somebody that you used to watch growing up?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, growing up in, you know, I was born in 72, so, you know, right there around 1980 to 1990, those were my formative years, you know, my teenage years, my little league years. And, you know, it was really, you were talking about two guys as perennially the best players in baseball were George Brett and Mike Schmidt. How funny that they both, you know, played third base. How funny that, you know, they are normally ranked in the top 1, 2, 3 greatest third baseman of all time. So their careers kind of mirrored each other. Now, Schmidt was less average, more homers. You know, George was, you know, scared 400, you know, less homers, but, you know, gold gloves. And I mean, just awesome, awesome baseball players. So, you know, I grew up as a shortstop, but I love to go over to third base and take ground balls. And one of the reasons for that was, you know, that I really loved the way George played the game, willing to do whatever he had to do for the team to win. If he needed a big homer, it seemed like he could hit the ball out of the ballpark at will, but he'd much rather go out there and try and scare 400 every year instead of hitting the big homer. He was just an awesome, awesome player. Anytime I get a chance to sit down with him and Schmitty in Cooperstown, I certainly take that opportunity.
You won a batting title at age 36. What goes into the process where you break into the league at age 21 in 1993, and then in the latter part of your career, you win such a prestigious award where you hit 364?
Yeah, it was most of the time, you know, I think if I was going through my peak years, if I came out of spring training and said, hey, I want to go out and try and hit 350 or 360, I probably could have done it, but I would have sacrificed a bunch of power to be able to do that. On the flip side, if I had come out of spring training in my peak years and said, hey, I want to hit 40-plus homers, I probably could have done it, but my average would have suffered. I probably would have hit 250, 260. I was obsessed with hitting 300, you know, and I felt like I could do the best of both worlds if I – hit 300 and still hit 30 homers and drive in 100 runs, score 100 runs. Well, during that year in 2008, about a third of the way through the season, I hurt my shoulder on a dive. And it really affected my ability to be able to extend my swing, meaning, you know, hitting the ball out of the ballpark. So at that point, I just kind of cut down my swing, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to go out and try and hit 400. And Shiambi and I were talking from ESPN last night, and I was over 466 games into the season that year. And at that point, I was like, I got so caught up with having to answer questions about hitting 400 that I found myself trying to go out and hit 400 instead of, you know, getting healthy and hitting the ball out of the ballpark. It was a great year. Everything I touched turned to gold early in the season, and everything fell in, and we had a good run at 400 there for a while, but held off, you know, Big Albert the Machine for the batting title in the last week of the season. So, yeah, 364, man. That's a career year for me, no doubt.
That is Chipper Jones. He is an 8-time All-Star. He won a World Series in 1995. He was the National League MVP in 1999, and he was inducted into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame in 2018 on the first ballot. Chipper, it was an honor to sit down and talk with you as someone who grew up watching a lot of Braves games on TBS. We really appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Y'all stay safe out there, okay?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.